Their task this morning is to give you a report on the Cross Conference, but before we do that, let me give a few preliminaries. One, this is a conference put on by the Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary in March called Conquering and to Conquer, an Eschatology of Victory. Some of you are like, oh, great, a postmillennialism conference. And I'm like, yes, absolutely, you should go to this conference. And here, Vody Baucham, Sam Waldron, John Miller, and Joel Beakey. That's March 14th through the 16th. In Louisville. So apparently all the good conferences happen in Louisville. Second, we made an appeal last week on behalf of our sister Emily Rickman for her missions trip to Uganda. Wanted to report to y'all that's been fully funded as of like Monday. So thanks to the generosity of several of you, as well as then to the church itself making up the difference. So thank you for your support for our sister Emily. Also, just a word in honor of our late brother James Duke. Y'all may not know this, but when James Duke died, he left a small sum of money, which he said he wanted me to use for the youth. And so we looked for things to do with it, and this is one of the things we did with it. So, and we're eating supper this week. We're like, praise the Lord for Mr. Duke. Though he is dead, he's still helping us and serving the Lord. So those are the preliminaries. So those of you who've been around for a few years are probably already a little bit familiar with the Cross Conference. This is the fourth time we've been involved, January 2019, December 2020, December 2021, but it's only the second time we've been there in person. First time we went was January 2019, 5 years ago. I can't believe it. It was me, Greg Thorne, Lenore Thorne, and Sarah Gregory, then Sarah Carmen. Bad news. Is Greg here this morning? Not yet. Okay, I was going to say that. Pizza place we went to, the sketchy place, sadly it was closed, full of dead leaves. We didn't get to go there again. But we live streamed it in 2020 and 21, and I would say like anything else, including church, live stream is better than nothing, but in person is best. So if you can go, if you want to go, you should go in person. If you can't afford to go, we can make that happen. So many of you are already familiar with the Cross, but some of you probably aren't. So let me just give a little background on what Cross is and where it came from. So basically, Cross is a missions conference designed for 18 to 25-year-olds, though they are stretchy on the age limits. And so like two of our three young people who went were 16, and that was okay with them. I saw some pretty young-looking people there, too. They might have been missionary kids or something, but there were some pretty young people there, and some pretty old people, too. But Cross was conceived in 2012 by a group of pastors who had been preaching at a conference in Louisville called Together for the Gospel. This included John Piper, Kevin DeYoung, David Platt. And they're sitting in a hotel lobby together, and these guys don't agree on everything. Some of them are Presbyterian, some of them are Baptist. They're men of very different temperament, very different giftings, but they all shared several important convictions. First, they all shared a heart to see the nations reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, they all shared a high view of the sovereignty of God over all things. Cross is a very sovereign grace kind of missions conference. They all shared a firm belief in eternal hell for those who don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and the necessity of the unreached peoples hearing the gospel in order to be saved. That's important, and it's rare today. They all shared a commitment to the centrality of the local church in missions, and they all shared a burden for college students. And since they didn't see any other conference that fit all those things, they decided to start one. So I first learned about Cross in late 2018 from my friend Ivan Mesa. I was asking him about conferences for college students, and he was like, have you heard of Cross? And I'm like, no, I haven't. So I Google it, and I'm like, John Piper and Kevin DeYoung, count me in. Because I would say in the last 20 years, the two living theologians, writers, who have influenced me the most have been John Piper and Kevin DeYoung. Hands down, there's probably not even a close second, close third. So there's a section on Cross's website called Get to Know Us a Bit More, and it has 8 points. I'd like to walk through those points just briefly, not only so that you can get to know them a little better, but also because it'll give me an opportunity to talk about basic mission stuff for just a minute. So first, we are both serious and joyful. They go on to say, we aim to match the tone of the conference to the weightiness of the topic at hand. As one of our founders, John Piper, said to a previous gathering of Cross, "We don't urge you to come to Cross to make your life easy. We urge you to come to make your life count." We are both serious and joyful. Second, we care about lasting change. We don't want to manipulate emotions that quickly flame out in unfulfilled expectations. Rather, we aim to instruct the conscience for lifelong faithfulness. That's good advice for any church or any pastor. Third, we want to ground people in God's Word. We want those who attend to grow deep theological roots. So we instruct through main talks, panels, testimonies, and topical breakouts, and I would add, with a lot of books. Fourth, we sing loudly together. I would add as a caveat, if you don't like loud music, Cross is probably not for you. It was a lot of people in a really big room. On the other hand, if you're someone who's older and you've already lost most of your hearing, Cross may be a perfect fit for you in that regard. But I would also add that though I love Matt Boswell and the worship team at Cross, I'll take Rex Clement and Steve Thomas any day of the week. Neither of them are even here to hear that. Too bad. Number five. We point people to local churches. They go on to say, an event like a conference can be a great tool for discipleship, but it's not the God-ordained normal means for Christian growth. It's for this reason that we encourage all those who attend to dive more deeply into their church after the conference. I'll let others speak more to this. I would simply say, I think this emphasis on the local church has always been there with Cross, but it's felt to me like it's been even stronger the last two conferences. Not exactly sure why that is, but I think it's true. Number six, we believe everyone has a role to play in the Great Commission. Fulfilling the command of Jesus to make disciples of all nations will not be accomplished by a select group of super Christians. Every follower of Jesus has been charged to take part, either as a sacrificial sender or a dedicated goer. So the goal of the Cross Conference is not to convince every Christian to be a missionary. In fact, one of the things you'll have drilled into you if you go to Cross more than once is that not every Christian is a missionary, and that's okay. Missionary is more like one position on the team. And not everybody needs to play that position. If the team's going to function at all, you need to have people playing all the other positions on the team. In fact, when John Piper prayed for the entire gathering this year, he prayed specifically that 1,000 young people from that conference would be goers, would become goers and go to the nations. That was 1 out of 10 people in the conference. So he prayed for a tithe of the people in that room to become goers, which means he was praying for 9 out of 10 to become senders who stay here. So everyone has a role to play in the Great Commission, but not everyone has the same role. So instead of claiming that every Christian is a missionary, it's better to think in terms of senders and goers. The goers, whom we call missionaries, aim to do somewhere else what we're already doing here. That is, building strong local churches that make disciples of all nations and teach them, baptize them, and teach them to obey all that Christ has commanded us. And the senders are the ones who gladly and prayerfully part with their members so that they can reproduce somewhere else what we have here. Especially somewhere else where the gospel is less available or not available at all. Number seven, we believe group leaders are instrumental. I'm very thankful to have had David Rickman and Sheila Thorne with me this year. Each of them has strengths I don't have, and they were able to add a lot of good things to the discussions on the way to the conference, at the conference, on the way back from the conference, and hopefully following up in the future after the conference. Conferences are also very tiring, especially those that are designed for college students. It's like it's 10:30 at night, and they're like, "This is a great time for a concert." And I'm like, "I'm ready to go back to the hotel an hour ago." So I'm thankful for David Rickman for being more of a night owl than I am. So if you're somebody who wants to be or is interested in being a team leader next year, come speak to us. I don't necessarily want to be the one going to this every year. And number eight, we partner with faithful organizations. They say, following up, we have an exhibit hall filled with missions agencies, seminaries, and resourcing organizations that are eager to serve. The sponsors, official sponsors this year, were Crossway Publishers, Desiring God Ministries. I haven't done the math, but I bet 2 out of 10 books in the church library are from Crossway. Desiring God Ministries is John Piper's ministry. 10ofthose.com, it's a Christian book website that was in charge of the bookstore for the conference. Radius International, that's the group we went to Mexico with in 2021. Can't believe it's almost 3 years ago. And Reaching and Teaching, which is the organization that our brother Kevin Ivey works with. Saw him. He was at the conference. There he is, right there, Kevin Ivey. The man behind him there is his director at Reaching and Teaching. His name is Eric Sipe. I think that's how you say it. Pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Columbus, Ohio. Got to meet him. He's a really nice guy. Speaking of other people we met, I was staying at the bookstore. I did that a lot at the conference over those 3 days. And standing at the bookstore looking at the books, and I hear someone say, Justin Dillahay. It's a female voice. I look up, who in the world? And I see this face, and I'm like, I know this person. I don't know who they are, but I know them. I feel like I've seen them just recently. Turns out it was one of Mr. Chuck Sims' granddaughters who was here like last week with her dad, Eric, and her mom. So there with her church, I think she said from Georgia or Florida. I forget what it was. But, yeah. So it's a small world, even when you're amongst 11,000 people. So let's see. As far as the men who spoke at the conference this year, the coordinator, the MC of the conference, was a brother named Ben Lacey. I don't think he'd done this in the past. Lacey pastors in Fort Worth. He used to be at Capitol Hill Baptist in Washington, D.C. Funny guy. I texted Rob Young at one point. Lacey's up there on stage. I texted a picture and said, Rob, I didn't know you had come to the conference secretly to interview John Piper. Of course, John Piper, always a staple. These the old sort of the old standbys here at the conference. John Piper, Kevin DeYoung, David Platt, Tripp Lee. New hands this year, Wigan Duncan, Shailin, and Harshit Singh. I think Singh was involved in one of the past conferences, but this is his first time as one of the main speakers. He's a pastor in India. There was the main sessions. I think there were 8 of them. There were also times when a missionary or two would come up and give their testimony of how God had called them, or maybe one of them had gone to the field prematurely and had come back and is now like studying theology, preparing to go back. But a couple of those who came, her name is John and Clara. I can't remember John's last name. But John, I went to seminary with both these people. So John is from Bolivia. His wife, Clara, there, I had a Hebrew class with her. Her name at the time was Clara Stamm. And Chris and Tiffany, Jared and Maggie, you'll probably remember a man named Chip Stamm, who taught worship at Boyce College, died of cancer. Chip was Clara's father. And it turns out that Clara's great aunt and uncle were John and Clara Stamm, the missionaries who were martyred in China in like 1935. So it's a very small world. Last night, my kids knew who John and Betty Stamm were, so I was telling them last night, I showed them this little video of these guys and said, this is Clara and John Stamm's like great niece. And they're just like, whoa, that's amazing. Told them John Piper was at the conference. They're like, John Piper's still alive? I'm like, yes, he is. There are also panel discussions, you know, where you get like 4 people up on the stage and they discuss a certain topic, like living as a woman on the mission field or how to discern whether you're called to the mission field and things like that. I always enjoy those panel discussions at conferences. Many of you, there's Brooks Buser. Brooks Buser was one of the men who was at Mexico Radius. He works for Radius International. He was a missionary to an unreached people group for 13 years in Southeast Asia, translated the Bible for them. If you ever seen the little documentary To the Yimby Yimby or something like this. It's about the Yimby Yimby people. Anybody ever seen that? That's him. He and his wife, Nina, were those missionaries in that tribe. So he was there as a panelist in many of the breakout sessions. Many of you know the name Rosaria Butterfield. Rosaria Butterfield, not a missionary, but she's a homeschooling mom, author, and has a new book out, which I'll mention to you later. But she was there this year to talk about topics like living in an anti-Christian age, and also a panel or a breakout talk on are homosexuality and transgenderism normal. So she was a lesbian, tenured English professor at Syracuse University, got saved, and is now a part of a exclusive psalmody Presbyterian church in like Indiana, and is a good lady. And it was, I think having her at the conference gave it a different feel this year just because of the things she talked about. So that's what I got to say for now. I just want to give an opportunity now. We need a handheld mic, if we got a handheld mic, for David, Sheila, Austin, Ben, Emily, to say whatever they would like to say. Just, you know, what were your, any sermons stand out to you? What's something God taught you in the conference or deepens your appreciation of? How do you hope your life will be different moving forward? Just whatever is on your heart to say.
I guess I'm first. So midway through, there was a man that got up, I couldn't remember who, that talked about the countries that will worship together forever in eternity. And it was a powerful sermon. He listed a lot of countries which are bitter enemies right now, Ukraine and Russia, North and South Korea. And he kept going and going and going. And by the end of what he was saying, he had mentioned so many countries. And it just brought the audience to a frenzy because he was saying, we're all going to be there. Everyone's going to be there from every tribe and tongue and people and group, and we're all going to worship the Lord. So that was pretty amazing. Later, David Platt showed the nations that were with their unreached people groups and the groups that are hostile to the gospel. And it occurred to me that Mongolia was up there. And Mongolia, it turns out, they had us download, and I would offer that you should download it too. The Joshua Project has the Unreached of the Day. It's an app that you can get. And in there, Mongolia is shown as having three unreached people groups. And with Lenore going soon, it made me look those up and where they're at and what they're doing. And one of them is in a place that they've talked about her being sent to. And the other one is the reindeer people, who she has already put her name in the hat to go and be with. So that's pretty exciting. I did not know that these existed and that we've got her going. The something learned, I knew it already, but it was good to hear again. Read excellent biographies of missionaries, especially out loud to your children. Very important to set a good tone for them on what life could look like. Give an example. Give good, godly people for them to hear. There was another breakout session that was talking about marriage, and it said, if you're not married, be that person that someone desires to marry because they're actively involved in their local church. They're doing all that they can to press forward as a good Christian. They're in their Bible, they're in prayer, they're supporting missionaries. Everything that you would love to see in that other person that you might want to marry, be that person. And I thought that was great. For my own self, I kept hearing and taking notes on the local church, the local church, the local church. So they mentioned these things, and I'm just going to kind of fire them off. The local church is the bride of Christ, so of course it's very important. They said, be very active in your local church. Embed yourself. Give your life for what matters. Be faithful believers in your community. Be the best church member that you can be. Love your church locally. You need the local church. Local church displays the gospel. It is missionary outreach. You're to fellowship with your other believers there. You're to center your life there. You're to be in a healthy congregation that models good and godly behavior. It speaks into your life. And take the local church very seriously.
The sermon you were talking about, Sheila, was Shai Lin's sermon, where he must have had like a United Nations list of nations just going through them. And it was, yeah, it was very powerful. Ben?
My reflection on these last days were more about my heart and things that I needed to grow in. And I kept on hearing people, a lot of the people there that would talk about their life and the sacrifices that they made for Christ. And as I heard them, I felt convicted that I don't really do much for Christ. I mean, I talk with my friends about him and stuff like that, but I don't actually like purposely go out and spread the gospel. And I felt like God was really speaking to me through these people that I need to have God as my first priority in life. And one of my my favorite talks that I heard was the talk with John Piper, and he was talking about how the last 3 weeks of his life, there were 3 weeks in his life mm-hmm. where his whole life was changed, and how he was willing to sacrifice wealth and so many things for the sake of Christ, and I thought that was really encouraging. Another speaker that I thought was really good was Rosaria Butterfield, and what I got from her was how there are transgender problems and all that stuff, and how it is an actual sin problem in people and how people struggle with it and that people in the church struggle with it. And I often ridicule them and think there's no hope for them. There's no way they can be saved. They're just so terrible. And it convicted me. And I need to be more loving to those people. And there are ways that we can help the people that suffer with that problem. And so I just pray that the Lord will help me to examine myself, to find more time for him, and to love others.
First off, if anything I say sounds too close to Ben's, it's not because I'm copying him. It's just because great minds think alike.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And also, one thing that I'd like to say is one of the things I definitely enjoyed about the conference, or at least, you know, I really liked getting to know the other people in our group.
Yeah.
You know, I really got to know Ben, Emily, Mr. Rickman, Mrs. Thorne, and Pastor Justin a lot better. And I might not be here today without them. And I mean that literally, as without Ben steering me through the crowds, I might have gotten lost. Yeah. Anyhow, I found probably one of my favorite speakers would have been John Piper with his talk about how you can't really plan out, or at least not extensively, your future, as it is all in God's hands. And we often do find ourselves saying, at this time, I'll do this and that. And oftentimes those plans do get uprooted. And, you know, there were many different breakout speakers, you know, who kind of you know, like groups that weren't necessarily like the main thing, but, you know, they talk about different important things. You know, they discuss things like marriage, confessing your sins. And then there was Rosaria Butterfield's about, you know, how a good way to disciple to those different LGBTQ plus people is to be respectful to them, not to give in to, you know, calling them by whatever they want you to call them, but mm-hmm. you know, we should still strive to be respectful to them, to share the gospel with them. And, you know, oftentimes we can fail to treat them as people. So that's an important thing to remember.
You have a good example in your dad in that, by the way. Go ahead.
And I think that's it. That's on my mind right now. And, you know, maybe some of y'all could, some, you know, we could get some more people to come next year, hopefully. And, yeah.
Everybody loves John Piper. Mm-hmm. His message also stood out to me, and the main point of his message was that God sovereignly created human sin and satanic opposition in order that the gospel could be brought about. And his main application was to align your life with God's sovereign and saving purposes over sin and Satan, and to not waste your life doing things that don't matter. His message really stood out to me in that. The breakout session that I went to was women on the mission field. And I enjoyed hearing from these other women struggles they had gone through, and their wisdom and advice in preparing for the mission field. And one of their big ones was to settle in your heart contentment in being single before going to the mission field. That's huge. That's one of the number one reasons why women on the mission field come back, because they're not content and they struggle with this. One of the things that one of the ladies said was, you can't draw lines in the sand with God. You can't surrender your heart and your life to him and withhold a desire, a sin issue, or fear, and still live out a surrendered heart and life on the mission field. You have to be sensitive and open to where the Lord is leading you, and be obedient and willing to go where he calls you to. For me, I knew the difference between a sender and a goer, but going to this conference this year really helped hammer the distinction. A goer is someone who goes to an, according to Cross's definition of a goer goes to an unreached people group in the 1040 window, and they go and they stay there for 10 plus years, learning the language, learning the culture, and planting a church. Those are the three big goals of a goer. A sender is not a person who does that. That doesn't mean that a sender cannot go cross-culture and invest in some missions short-term. And that was a big issue that I was struggling with, because I wanted to go and serve cross-culture for short-term, but I didn't think that the Lord was calling me to go to an unreached people group for 10-plus years. So the Lord really helped me and gave me peace about being a sender, and that being a sender doesn't mean I stay in Hartsville, Tennessee, and not go and support and serve missionaries that we support. Let's see. I have several notes. going from the conference and coming back home, thinking about what I've learned and what I've heard and trying to apply it to my life, I am praying that the Lord would give me confidence in him and in the gospel to share the gospel with those that I'm around. in my community or wherever the Lord gives me opportunity. One of the speakers mentioned that God's purpose, God's power, purposes, promises, and plans should bring comfort and confidence in our Heavenly Father. And I'm praying that who God is and what he's done on my behalf and on the behalf of the nations would give me confidence and security that would lead me to share him with other people who are around me. So.
I know we're kind of running a little short, and I know Justin's got more
to say.
No. So,
go ahead. Don't worry about me.
But just a couple things. We went into this, and I know we advertise it as a missions conference, which it is, but it is so much more than that. It is a discipleship conference, and you learn more about yourself, whether you're being a sender or whether God calls you to be a goer, at this conference than you would imagine. Being around 11,000 like-minded believers is a powerful thing. Yeah. And I encourage all of the youth here to think about it for next year. Pray about it. Talk to Ben, talk to Austin, talk to Emily. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that we had there was probably just as good as some of the messages we heard. You know, just the back and forth and the questions that the messages brought up. And I know some of you have those questions around the lunch table already. So it is encouraging to see that here. And you guys striving for God's will in your life and for those tough discussions amongst each other. So it's really cool. But a couple of the things that stood out to me, one was during the first panel with Trip Lee, Kevin DeYoung, and a couple of the ladies there. And one of the things they said was, make sure you're living your life on purpose, right? Don't just walk through every day and do the next thing. Make purposeful decisions for Christ. And purposefully say yes to Christ. And sometimes that's going to mean saying no to some good things. But know that you're choosing Christ over all.
Yeah.
And then comparison. They talked about comparison. And that is a big thing for me. I've always, well, I'm not going to say always, but I had a hard time with comparing myself to people who I would like to be like and saying, I'm just not going to be there. I'm not good enough. Or people that I believe that I'm better than, and at least I'm not there, right? And the thing about comparison that they were talking about, it leads to either pride or shame. And neither one are from the Lord. So make sure you're comparing yourself to Christ at all times, right? And strive to do better the next day and the next day and the next day. And that was the one thing that really stuck with me through this conference, is getting to know these cool guys. I know this young lady pretty well already, but but it's awesome to see what God does in the hearts of young men and women at these places and what it's going to flourish into. I mean, you think of Lenore a few years ago, and now what's she doing? She is a goer. She is putting herself out there for Christ. And Cross, I believe, was a part of that. And who's next, right? And it may not be another goer from here, but we could be the best senders we could be. And we can learn from Cross, and we can learn from the people that have been. And I just encourage you all to think about it. And the older gentlemen that could, or ladies that could go with us to be sponsors, whatever, pray about it, because it will affect you as well.
Thank y'all for your input. Just a few closing remarks. A couple of you mentioned just the highlight of, I've always been part of small churches, and I like it that way. I'm not against large churches, but I like being in a smaller one. When you're amongst 11,000 people singing and worshiping, there's something special about that now and again. As I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, the Gospels say that Jesus fed 5,000 people, but it also says that was men. That was not counting women and children. I'm thinking, this is probably about close to what we were talking about that day. And so just looking around, getting some idea, this is what Jesus had to deal with all the time. Just these crowds, masses of people. But it was encouraging to do that. Also, just asking a question like, who should go next year? They're having it next year. So it's not, I don't know if it's going to be a 2-year thing in the future, but they're having it next year. So if we ask who should go next year, first I would say who should not go would be, if you've been twice, if you participated twice, you've heard what they have to say. Like at this point, there's no need to go back. You read the books they've told you to read, get plugged in your local church, and just try to be a faithful sender, goer. Just follow up, apply what you've learned. Don't keep going back for the excitement. But as far as who should go, after this year, I would say almost anyone between, as far as not counting group leaders, anyone between the ages of 16 and 30 who has any interest in learning about missions. You don't have to think, I think I might be a goer, because it's not just about that. Like you will learn better how to be a sender and just how to better cultivate a culture where we're going to be more involved in the Great Commission. And so finally, I want to close with some quotes. These are loose quotes because I was writing really fast to try to catch up with them, but just some quotes that stood out to me in the conference. Kevin DeYoung said, "One of the most important decisions you'll make as a college student is to decide what you will do on that first Sunday morning when no one's there to tell you where to go or what to do. Will you go to church or will you sleep in? One of the most important decisions you'll make in college." Tripp Lee said something like, "If the only sins you are willing to call out are the sins that our culture is currently calling out, then you may be taking your cues from the world instead of from Christ." Wigan Duncan told a story about a Muslim girl who had converted, and as is often the case, her father now wants to kill her because she's converted to Christianity. And she told this story to John MacArthur, and MacArthur had asked her, "What were you thinking in that moment?" And she said, "I was thinking, this man has a religion he would kill for, and I have a Savior I would die for." David Platt was talking about Bible memorization. He was actually talking about journaling, but he was talking about Bible memorization and just dealing with the objection, just like, "I'm just not a memory person. I'm just not good at memorizing." He said, "If I were to give you $1,000 for every Bible verse you could have memorized by tomorrow, I think you would learn." The question is, which is more important, getting money or getting to know God? There was a section where apparently there was lots of other college missions conferences going on at the same time. I didn't know that. But apparently there were other good missions conferences going on at the time. And so Platt wanted to let all of those conferences know that we were praying for them. And so he's got his phone out. He's like, "I want you to call out when I give you the signal. Like, we are praying for you, and I'm going to record it and send it to these folks." And I thought that was a commendable thing to do, because I'm sure there are things about those other conferences that they disagree with. Otherwise, they wouldn't have started this conference because they thought they had some things better to offer. But that doesn't mean that we have to be enemies either. It doesn't mean we can't pray for each other. And that applies here to us as well. If the success of the Great Commission and the reaching of the unreached peoples depends upon 1689 Reformed Baptist, the world is in trouble, friends. The world's in trouble. Rosaria, very quotable, said things like, "Sin doesn't stay where you put it. So don't think you can control it. Sin doesn't stay where you put it. You have to learn to hate sin without hating yourself. She's talking particularly to people who struggle with homosexuality there. We can't dodge repentance in order to get to grace. Speaking to just the impulse to downplay repentance in order to just talk positive things. And I'll close with a quote from Brooks Buser. Brooks Buser said, "Senders raise their children to be goers." Senders raise their children to be goers. Obviously not that you should expect all your children to be goers, but that we ought to at least be making it part of their plausibility structure, part of, hey, this could be you. This might be you. You should think about this. This may be something God calls you to. And in that vein, she already talked about it. Buser simply asks, like, who are the heroes you're putting in front of your kids? All of them don't have to be missionaries, but some of them need to be. The little Torchlighters cartoons are a good place to start here. And one of the resolves I think I walked away with was just a fresh resolve to make sure my kids know who Hudson Taylor is, who Amy Carmichael is, who Adoniram Judson is, who Gladys Aylward is. And more than that, to try to keep them aware of what's going on in the world right now as well. Like, this isn't just the long time ago stuff. This is now stuff. John and Betty Stamm's great niece is in the Middle East right now, serving the Lord. And that could be you. So as we look at the future of Grace Baptist Church, I think one question we need to ask ourselves is simply, as parents, a question we need to ask ourselves as parents is, am I willing for my now 8-year-old daughter or son to be the one who goes to Saudi Arabia when they grow up? And not just am I willing, but would I be honored? Like, would I be happy? Would I want? Would they know that if they felt God was calling them and the church was confirming that mom and dad are going to be behind me on this? And obviously, I don't mean that you won't be allowed to miss them or that you won't be tempted to worry about them. You will. We would. I simply mean that if our basic heart posture is, God, I know missions is great, but please send someone else's kids to the field, at least to the dangerous places. Like, if that's the basic posture of our heart, our kids are going to pick up on that. Like, they're going to pick up on not just what we say we believe, but what we're passionate about. Our kids are going to know whether, yeah, dad goes to church, he believes in Jesus, but dad is passionate about, you know, he's passionate about fishing. He's passionate about hunting. He's passionate about movies. He's passionate about football. They're going to know the difference between what we say and what we really love and are passionate about. So that was the main thing I think I took away from it. Sheila, do you have one more thing you want to add?
Moment where I teared up because we were praying for the people who are going, and it said, give your best to the Lord. And I thought, I'm giving him Lenore.
Yeah. And a couple more things. We only got a couple minutes, but obviously, missions is not the only thing that the church is supposed to do. There's probably someone here thinking that right now. There's other things we could do. There's people here at home. Yes, 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 absolutely. Missions is not the only thing that even the church corporately needs to be doing. But I do think we need to remember, missions is something that no one but the church is going to do. Like, there are other groups in the world who will do some of the things that the church is called to do. Some of them maybe wish they wouldn't do them. But no one else gives a rip whether the unreached peoples ever hear about Jesus. This is on us. Like, there's no other group in the world that is going to do this. And under God, if we don't do it, it will not get done. So just, that's something to weigh. And finally, just, I almost forgot about this. So, books that we brought back. Who wants a free? Who would read? Would like to have a free copy of J.C. Ryle's Holiness. Appreciate the honesty. Yes, Ken, you're like, okay, I like it, but I wouldn't read it. So one person is interested in holiness. Good. All right. But you can have that. J.C. Ryle's Holiness, I think it's just complete and unabridged. Yeah. Anybody else? There you go. Pass that to brother. Several books here I got, they were on sale for like $2. So it really felt irresponsible not to buy multiple copies. Because when are you going to find Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney for $2 ever again? So there's three of these books here that I bought multiple copies of because I want us to give them away. I want to be a church that's just giving away good books, and $2 is not much to lose on giving a book away. So What is the Gospel by Greg Gilbert? There's multiple copies of that. Now, you can read these if you want. They're all in the library already, but I'm mainly thinking about giving these away. The copy room, there's like 25 Bibles in there to give away. I don't know if I've done a good job making sure y'all know. The copy room's full of stuff that's meant to be given away. Bibles, books, this is where these books are going to be going. So Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. It's just a little book about using your Bible reading to direct your praying. Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper, classic. There's fewer of these. This, I think, is a new book by Max Stiles. He was there, older man, missionary in the Middle East, called The Truth About Lies, Why Jesus is More Relevant Than You Think. I just skimmed it. I haven't read it, but it looks like it'd be a really good book to give to a non-believer. That's what it's designed for. At any rate, Rosaria Butterfield's book, Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age. I haven't read this. I think basically the things she was talking about this week are the things in this book. Biography of Ann Judson. I think she was the first Mrs. Judson. He had three wives, not all at once, who perished, who died on the mission field. But Ann Judson, missionary life for Burma. A book on the Atonement by Jeremy Treat, Short Studies in Systematic Theology. Book on Glorification by Graham Cole. This is a new one. Peter Williams, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About Their Greatest Teacher. Looks good. A biography of Sarah Edwards. This was Jonathan Edwards' wife. So Sarah Edwards, Delighting in God by Sharon James. A copy of The Hiding Place by Corey Ten Boom. I couldn't remember if we had this in the library or not, so went ahead and got one. A copy of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, a modernized version of that. So if you struggle to read the original, that would be a good option. And this book is actually, this copy actually, somebody brought it back. We'd had two copies and they'd been checked out for like a year. But Impossible Christianity by Kevin DeYoung. I read it this week. It was a very fast read. But I would highly recommend this book. Also, Truth for Life, 365 Daily Devotions by Alistair Begg. This was one of the giveaway books. So those will all be available on the book table. Probably not all today because the book table won't hold them all. But please think of reading those as well as trying to give away to people you know some of those other giveaway books. So let's pray and we'll have our coffee. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your work in our lives, for your sanctifying work in our hearts. I thank you for sending your best, for not sparing your own son, but giving him up for us all. And so, Lord, as you send him into the world, he has sent us. And so, Lord, help us to be the salt and light that you've designed us to be. Lord, help us to lead holy lives that commend and adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And Father, Lord, I pray you would spare us any false and misplaced guilt in a lesson like this, in a report like this. But Lord, where we're convicted of genuine sin, don't let up on us, Lord. Hold us to the fire and purify us. Lord, bless our pastor, Chris, as he prepares and comes to bring the word of God to us. Lord, may we be more God-honoring, Christ-reflecting believers for what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.